Thank you for joining us today for the Temple Baptist Church podcast. Today's message was originally recorded July 30th, 2006.
Father, indeed we declare we believe. It doesn't matter what else comes, it doesn't matter what else we must deal with. May the one thing that remains sound and sure in our lives always be our faith. Father, thank you that you have given us such a faith and empowered with your Spirit that we truly can believe no matter what comes. I pray, Lord, that this faith that we hold so dear will be evident to others, that they too may believe, that they may see in us the conviction of hope and truth that will lead them to the only source of truth, who is Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this message and song, for this time of worship. Lead us now into all truth. Be our teacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When life takes a turn for the worst, I often return to things that are familiar. As a child, I would go home to my mother. My father would say things like, "Oh, suck it up. Be a man. Get a bigger stick." Something like that. "It's not bleeding. You're not running a temperature. Have you thrown up yet?" Those are the kinds of things he would say. My mother would always say, "Well, it's okay." She put her arm around me, or she'd hold me close. If the injury wasn't bleeding, it was still just as severe to her and would warrant the kind of care and nurture that only a mother can give. So in those times, I always went home, but I went home to my mother. If my mother wasn't there, well, I just didn't go home. Now, if it was bleeding, that was good. You know, then I'd go to my father because then you could show him, "Hey, it's bleeding. Way to go, son. You know, come on, we'll work on that." He liked working on cuts and things like that. But I'd always go home. Go to a place of safety, security, a place that was familiar. As I got older, I shifted that. When I run into those kinds of times now, I still go home. But I don't go home to my mother, I go home to my wife. I find in her the same comfort and nurture and care, although she's not very sympathetic unless it's bleeding, so kind of like Dad. But I can find in her the nurture and the care and the love that is so familiar. It is the familiarity, it is the relationship that I go back to. When I run into difficulties or when I'm called upon to walk the course with others, I return to what is familiar in the Word of God. I go back to verses that God has used to inspire my life or to encourage my heart in times of trouble or travail. Because they are familiar, they speak to me, but always with some newness. They speak to me with a new power or a reassurance, and yet also with the familiar, so that I remember back how over the years God has shown himself to be faithful in my life and how his word has encouraged me, and I go back to that. Well, this has been one of those kinds of weeks, and I've returned to the familiar, and I have found the comfort and love of those relationships that are dearest. And I have returned to God's Word, to a place where He has always spoken with clarity to my heart. He said to me a long time ago, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths." A long time ago, I memorized that verse as a child. And then through the years, that memory verse kind of stuck and stayed, and I would bring it up again, and it would help. Eventually, it found its way onto a plaque that ended up on the wall of my office, and it has remained dear to me and always encourages me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 may be one of the most familiar verses in all of the Proverbs. In the wisdom literature, God spoke through Solomon to deliver to us words of wisdom that were designed not only to encourage, but at times to correct, other times to direct, but always to bring us back to something that was sound and solid. It was the kind of advice you can trust. It is the kind of wisdom that you know exceeds that of your own. And yet, in its form, it seems so simple, to the point where it's almost unbelievable that you didn't think of it yourself. This one, perhaps as much as any, and more than most, speaks to us in just that way. It is a very simple message that I bring to you today that comes really from the heart. There's no alliterated outline or PowerPoint slides to accompany it. And it needs no additional enhancement other than that which God Himself has placed upon it. For He says to us in such simple terms, but in such specific statements, trust in the Lord. The word trust means to not only depend upon, but it means to also take whatever security you have held on your own and give to God. In other words, when you trust in the Lord, you no longer trust in yourself. You no longer trust in your circumstances. You no longer trust in your possessions. And you no longer trust in this world. When you trust in the Lord, it is an exclusive relationship that requires the exclusion of all others. Trust in the Lord means that there is no relationship, even the familiar, even the closest, even those that are most significant upon this earth, that will ever exceed our trust in Him. Trust in the Lord means that no human being can ever draw us away, nor ever exceed that which we have placed in the hands of God. It isn't a popular position to be in. Most people relate their relationship with God more on a religious level, and religion is only essential when you really need it or when times are really bad. And yet it isn't about religion at all. It has always been and will always forever be about a relationship. And our relationship with God, one that meets the standard of this passage, is a relationship that exceeds and precedes every other human relationship. Trust in the Lord means that we trust in God to the exclusion of all other trust. Trust in the Lord means we depend on God for that which we cannot depend upon ourselves for. Certainly that would apply to our salvation. Life is brief, is it not? If a week such as has passed doesn't remind you of that fact, then you're simply not paying attention. If the suddenness with which many are taken from us does not remind you of that truth, then you have buried your head way too far in the sand. And doing that in this part of the world is difficult because we don't really have a lot of sand. That means you had to burrow through rock, and your head may be a lot harder than you first thought. People say, well, we need to win people to Jesus, but we've got to ease them into it, or we've got to build relationships, and I'm all for that and all about that. But sometimes we need to just wake up and realize that in the next moment you may be dead. Sometimes you just need to be told, get with the program. You say, well, preacher, I'm with it. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Good. What about your friends? What about your family members? What about the people you work with? What about the people that you've only encountered along the way? What about them? Trust in the Lord means that you trust in Him for your own salvation, but it means that if it's good enough for you, it surely must be good enough for others as well. And sometimes the circumstances and events of life that drive us back to the familiar relationship with God must always and also drive us out into the extended relationships with others so that they too may see the evidence of our trust. Trust in the Lord means that we also depend upon God, not only for our salvation, something that we cannot earn and certainly do not deserve, but we must also depend upon the Lord for our strength. Trusting in the Lord means that our strength comes from Him. I received a call about 12:15 on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. When the phone rings that late in my house, we all go on full alert because it's always bad. Someone's always in trouble. Even my children know this. The nurse at the emergency room told me that Fern was there and that she wasn't going to live very long. She'd had a massive heart attack. I didn't even tell Kathy that information. All I said to her was, Fern's in the emergency room and it's bad. The nurse told me conclusively that she wasn't going to survive. I knew before I arrived, but my brain couldn't compute that at that moment. I thought to myself, well, that's probably not true. She's just missing something. I'll go see for myself. And maybe it's not as bad as she thinks it is. So driving over to the hospital, you know, I'm trying to work this out in my head, convincing myself and denying what I've been told and saying, well, you know, I've got to see for myself. I may not have been born in Missouri, but obviously I have embraced the culture because I had to be shown. But upon walking into the room, I knew she wouldn't be with us long. She was leaving this world, headed to another one, and it was evident to all. And all I could think of was, Lord, this just can't be happening. Fern's pretty important to me personally, and certainly very important to us as a church family. And every time one of her generation that has been such a stalwart of faith goes home to be with the Lord, I get a little more worried. Because the next generation's coming up, I don't think will pray for me like she did. And I don't think that they will be as devoted as she was. And I don't think that they will adhere so faithfully to the truths that we have been taught and by which we've been delivered as she did. And I worry. I need every one of these saints, especially these older ones that have been faithful for so many years and who are so faithful to pray for me. And with each passing generation and with each generation that we move down upon to our dependents, I worry that it's not going to be the same. And I know it's not, but I worry, is it going to be as good? Because it's hard for me to imagine anyone taking her place. But as I stood there, I thought to myself, Lord, I don't want her to go. It would have been a lot easier for me, I think, to have gone through that experience if Reve hadn't have shown up. But Reve came in just a few minutes, and Reve, she's with David, I think, in Georgia or Alabama, somewhere down in the south, went down there today. Reve and Fern, of course, were best friends, and she walked in, and she looked at Fern, and she reached over, and she put her arm around my waist, and she looked up at me, and she said, is she going to be okay? And I said, no, Reve, she's not. She's not going to live. But I said, then she'll be okay. And she just wept, and it broke my heart. And we stood there together, and we gathered the chairs around, and we prayed for her as her heart began to slow and as the breathing began to cease. And as we prayed, and I tried to, Jim had said, you know, Scott, lead us in prayer. And I thought to myself, you know, this is the one time I probably can. And I couldn't. I just kind of blubbered my way through it. And the more I would try to pray, the more I would cry. And the more I would cry, the harder Reve would squeeze my hand to encourage me. And the more she squeezed my hand, the more it made me cry. I wanted to say, Reve, you're going to have to leave me alone. I can't get through this. But you know what? It's not the words that so often I am proud of that make a difference in moments like that. It is the strength that wells up by the Holy Spirit within us that enables us to stand and lose and yet somehow know we won. Trust in the Lord. If God would direct us what to do, He also tells us what not to do. Lean not on your own understanding. My understanding is so limited. I do not really understand what other people go through. I said in the funeral service for Charles that I couldn't possibly relate to what he experienced during his tours of duty in Vietnam. A man that was so highly decorated for bravery, wounded twice, and granted the Purple Heart for that. Recognized by two different branches of the military in two different tours of service for gallantry and bravery under fire. For me to say that I understood what he went through would be an insult to his memory and his experience and to all of the men who have served in similar capacities. Because I don't understand. I haven't been there and I can't relate to that. But I can appreciate it and I can be grateful for it. And I can honor that memory, and I can live in the freedom with dignity, respect, and honor that has been earned for me by people like him. My understanding is limited. I don't know everything, and I don't understand everything, and my emotions are different from your emotions, and my mindset is different from your mindset, so that it makes it impossible sometimes for me to understand you as much as it makes it impossible for you to fully understand me. To know what we are going through, or to be able to make decisions, or to try and anticipate the events that are going to come is virtually impossible because our understanding is too limited. That's why God said, as a warning, but also as a word of wisdom, lean not on your own understanding. But you know, the world tells us we've got it all together. More education, or more power, or more possessions, or more friends, or more this, or more that, or more prestige, or more leisure. All of these things they tell us are going to make everything come together. And the more we try to control, and the more we try to protect, and the more we rely upon ourselves, the more frustrated we become. Do you know what the leading cause of illness in the United States is today? Anybody? Huh? Say it out loud. Stress. Some of you have already been to the doctor and they've already told you that, haven't you? Stress causes what? It causes chest pains where no heart attack may be occurring. It causes mental breakdown in a variety of ways. It causes muscle fatigue from being tense all the time. It causes joint pain almost on the level of arthritis, osteoarthritis. It causes confusion and the depletion of vital chemicals in your body like potassium or sodium. You thought that the only way you lost that stuff was with Lasix or too much sweating. But the reality is that stress can produce a depletion of that. It causes a decline in the serotonin and the other chemicals of the brain that make you feel good. It reduces your ability to sleep properly, and therefore that affects everything as well. Stress-induced illness is becoming one of the most common diseases in the United States. But where does all this stress come from? Why do we have all of this stress in our lives today? Well, people say my schedule is too busy or my life is too hectic, and they say it as if they have no control over it. My life is busy and hectic too, but a lot of it, most of it, is self-inflicted. Lean not on your own understanding. The more you think you've got it in hand and the more you think you're in control, the more it slips from your grasp and the more you become susceptible to the dangers and the degradation of your own wisdom. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledging God in the ways of life means simply to recognize that He is the one giving leadership. And so we do that through prayer as one way. Prayer is a way that we can acknowledge God. We were in a restaurant in St. Louis recently, and Kathy and I always pray when before a meal. And so sometimes we don't pray for the salad, I've noticed. You know, it's like until the steak gets there, it's not really time to pray. You know, salad, you know, is that worthy of prayer? But anyway, we prayed before the salad on this particular occasion. And so we held hands across the table as we always do, and I led in a short prayer. And so then in a little while, there was a couple seated kind of behind me and across from us. And the waiter came and took their order and then left. And she reached over and tapped my hand. And we looked over and this couple was praying and holding hands across the table. And I thought, boy, that just never happens. You know, I never see other people doing that in restaurants, or very rarely. But it was almost like a mirrored image of us. And I thought, well, I'm glad to see, excuse me. Okay, I think a bug went down my throat. I was glad to see other people, you know, that were praying for the meal. It's a good testimony. It's a good witness, but it also encourages me. I acknowledge God when we, because God's the one who provides that food. You know, you may think that the restaurant did it, and if it's poorly cooked, you may blame the cook for it. But the fact of the matter is, it came from God. The money that's in your pocket or on your credit card or in your bank account that you used to pay for that came from God. The resources that were necessary to bring you to that moment and to that place came from God. Everything that we have and all that we are in this life came from God. He created us. He created the world around us. And whether you understand all of the details and how it relates to the scientific community or not, doesn't change the fact that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. Acknowledging Him is recognizing that He is Lord of all. We don't do that very often. We don't do it very well, but nonetheless, when He says acknowledge Him in all your ways, that's what He's talking about. We acknowledge God through prayer. We acknowledge God through obedience. When God tells us what to do, what is our response? Well, that really doesn't fit with the way I want to do things. Not long ago, someone told me they were looking for a church that fit their lifestyle. And I said, why don't you find a church that fits the truth and then you adjust your lifestyle to fit that? And he said, well, that's just not, you know, we grew up in a very restrictive, fundamental home. I said, well, bless God for that. He said, no, he said, it limited our growth and our potential. And he said, we don't want our children to be like that. He said, in fact, our children should have the right to choose whether or not they go to church. I said, do they have the right to choose whether or not they go to school? He said, well, no, of course not. I said, do they have the right to choose whether or not they go to the doctor or the dentist? No, of course not. I said, do they have the right to choose whether or not your 10-year-old can drive your car? No, of course not. I said, then why would you, if you are willing to make them do what is right on these fundamental issues and basics of life, would you not have the same attitude toward your relationship with God? Well, because relationships with God are just individual and personal, and we want them to be free to express themselves and to grow as they choose. I said, well, good luck with that. Let me know how that works out. But I said, I'm not very confident. He said, well, I guess you make your children go to church. I said, I make my children do a lot of things. And I said, you ought to see my children. I said, one of them 6'3". The other one's almost 6 feet. I said, they're faster, they're stronger, they're bigger than me. And I make my children do stuff. And I always have. He said, well, don't they resent you for that? I said, not when they hug me. Not when they tell me I love you, Dad. Not when they go to bed at night and say, night, Dad. Not when they're there and they spend their time with me. I said, no, we have a great relationship. And I said, you know something? When my kids go to their friends' houses and there's the kind of insecurity that you're describing to me, they don't stay very long. They'll come home and say, we just would rather be here. Folks, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledging Him means to be obedient. Teach obedience, model obedience, and you will get obedience. Obedience isn't something that God offers to us. In fact, obedience is the command of Scripture that begins with the Ten Commandments. It continues on down through the ages. Jesus Himself said, those who are my disciples are those who keep my word. Failure to keep the word of God is failure to acknowledge God, and it reveals a lack of love for God. It reveals a weak, shallow, possibly fake relationship with God. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. We were coming home from Wyoming on our mission trip, and we stopped at Cabela's. I didn't want to. But the rest of the group did, and it was a convenient place to stop for lunch, and so I agreed reluctantly to do it. We went into Cabela's, and you know, I just hate it going into these sporting goods stores. There's nothing there but hunting clothes and equipment and guns and ammunition and, you know, all kinds of gadgets and gear and things like that and stuffed animals everywhere. It's just not my environment, you know. Those of you who know me well know that I don't fit very well in that sort of environment. But I tolerated it. Ted Logan went over and looked at a device that he was considering, and in the end purchased the device, and it was a GPS system. It was really, really cool. In fact, I was like just ready to pull the trigger myself, and then he said, I'll take that. And I thought, oh, well, I won't buy it right now. We'll just play with Ted's the rest of the way home. We stuck that thing on the windshield of my truck and plugged it in, and he tried to read the manual, but motion sickness kind of affected some of that, so we just punched buttons and played. And not only does it show you where you're going, but it tells you how long it's going to take you to get there and which roads you need to follow, and it talks. What'd you say her name was? Mona. Mona is the name of his GPS, and she speaks to him. And but she's kind of gruff, you know, kind of has a gravelly sort of voice. It's not a real sultry, pleasant-sounding voice. It's almost mechanical. But nonetheless, Mona talked to us on the way, and she could tell us all kinds of information, and it was very helpful. She could even tell us which restaurants were going to be in the area where we were going, and hotels and things like that, and how to find them. And she'd give us a little heads up, you know, turn right in 0.36 miles, stuff like that, you know. It was really cool. And we played with that thing for 2 days on the way home. But you know, Mona can't figure out everything. In fact, Mona never suggested anything that we didn't program into her. It really, the truth be known, all Mona possesses is a little bit better understanding of where we're going once we tell her where we're going. But we still have to decide where we're going. We still directed the path. GPS can be very helpful to get you back once you've already gone, or to help you understand what's ahead as you plot the course. But it can't tell you which course to take. You have to decide that yourself. When you acknowledge God in all your ways, He makes straight the path. It's not that He just tells you which path to take. He clears the obstacles out of that path. You ever been so tired you couldn't sleep? I was that way last night. I was so tired I couldn't sleep. I couldn't stay awake because I was so tired. And then as soon as I drop off to sleep, I wake up and I'm all fidgety and, wired up. And so it's on and off all night long. You get to sleep just enough to where you feel kind of hot and want to kick the covers off, and then you wake up. And now you're just uncomfortable. And the dog hears you, and he has to get up and readjust everything. And if you're a dog, you can't get up without shaking a couple of times, and that's kind of noisy and stuff. And so he does that, and then he gets back in his position, and then you try to go back to sleep. And the second you start to go back to sleep, your mind just begins to race off. A lot of the stress and a lot of the pain and a lot of the problems and a lot of the weariness and a lot of the fatigue and a lot of the brokenness and a lot of the confusion and a lot of the misunderstanding in relationships is due to the fact that we have not trusted in the Lord. We have depended on ourselves when God told us not to. We have failed to acknowledge Him in the ways that we have taken. And as a result, the path isn't straight. It's crooked. Now, what does a crooked path do to you? Well, it lengthens the course of the trip, slows it down and makes it more tedious. It increases the risk along the way. Generally, if it's crooked, it's probably going to have a lot of ups and downs. And it ends up being a roller coaster ride that can be fun if you're at a theme park and can be absolute misery if you're trying to get to Potosi. Right? And that's what life has become for many people. Is it any wonder that when they get to the end of their lives, their faith is gone? When they get to the end of their lives, their church relationship is diminished? When they get to the end of their lives, all the other stuff that were so important to them at one point have now been absolutely lost? And they have traded them in for other things, and we trade them in for all kinds of things that don't satisfy, that don't meet the purpose, and don't fulfill. And as a result, we end up just absolutely exhausted, tedious, worn out, and broken. It's because of that path you're on. It's always up and down. There's never any level ground. It's always one curve after another without knowing what's behind the next. Never any straight road. Trust in the Lord, folks. He'll straighten out your hog trail. He'll straighten out that path you're on. He'll remove some of those obstacles for you, and it won't be as hard a climb. He will make straight your paths. Do it your way, you'll wear out or you'll burn out. Do it God's way, and you'll never quit. At the end of all that we have experienced this week, I am grateful to know that those who have come to the close of their life here on earth did so with faith, kept the faith. I think the only way for us to do that is to return to where we began. And where we begin is trust in the Lord. Recognize His wisdom over your own. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him at every point in life. And if you're doing something or if you're involved in something that you cannot acknowledge God in, then stop doing it because it probably isn't good for you. And it certainly isn't for His glory. And if you'll do that, then He will direct your path. Father, thank You for the hope You've given us through Jesus. And thank You for the promises of Your Word that encourage our hearts and that bring us back to what is familiar. I pray that You will guide us, and that in this time of decision, we will choose to trust in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us once again for the podcast. Remember that you can visit us on the web at www.tbcsullivan.com. And if you'd like to email us, you can email us at tbc@tbcsullivan.com.